The Green Bay Packers are preparing to meet the Seattle Seahawks in the NFC Championship game this upcoming Sunday. We'll take a look ahead to that game and what the Packers can expect with Burt Griffin, sportscaster at WFRV-TV in Green Bay, right here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central next. TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden, along with Alex Talich. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for the NFC Championship game this upcoming weekend against the Seattle Seahawks. In order to get prepared for that game, we have a guest joining us on the phone, Burt Griffin of WFRV-TV in Green Bay. Mr. Griffin, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. How about you guys? I'm glad we're still talking Packers football this late in January.
Yes, that is a good thing, definitely. It was a close game last weekend against the Dallas Cowboys, but we're here. As usual, Burke, I have to start with the health of Aaron Rodgers. Do you expect he'll be any better this week in the NFC Championship game than he was last Sunday against the Cowboys in the divisional round of the playoffs?
Well, I hope he's better in the first half. As we saw against Dallas, it kind of reminded me of a couple of those games that Brett Favre had. I mean, he was off. I mean, he threw a couple of, there was one shot to the end zone that was high, and there was a couple to the outside that were, even the receivers looked around like, hey, man, who's this guy throwing the football? But obviously he settled in. Something changed at halftime. The whole rest versus rust theory was brought up during the week, and having the bye week off, and for him, resting that leg, it's more important to have him out there than to have him on the practice field and then not be able to play. So I think, when he said in his weekly radio show that, he's not better, he's not worse, it's the same, it felt a little worse after, but then it felt better yesterday. I think, a 75% Aaron Rodgers still gives you the best chance to win no matter who you're playing.
I'm right there with you. On Tuesday, yesterday, Packers' Corey Linsley and HaHa Clinton Dix were named to the NFL's all-rookie team by the Pro Football Writers of America. Can you address the impact these guys have made on this Packers team in their first year in the NFL?
Well, what a week for Linsley, huh? His alma mater wins the national championship, and then he's named one of the all-rookie teams. That, I think you thought J.C. Treader was going to be the guy. And they always say you should never lose your job due to injury. Well, I think the Buckeyes, speaking of the Buckeyes, will have an interesting, dilemma on their hands with Cardale Jones. Now Linsley's a different story. I think he outperformed and outplayed everybody for the spot. And really, I don't go over the game tape every single play, every single guy, but from what I've watched and when I've watched him and just really isolated on his play, he plays strong. He doesn't look like a rookie. And Corey's not phased one bit. And you remember back at the beginning of the year, that was all the talk. How's Seattle going to, affect this rookie lineman? Is he going to be able to make the calls and the checks and read the blitzes and the pickups and which way they're slide protecting? Well, I think Corey's done pretty well. You haven't heard his name hardly at all. And now HaHa, on the other hand, he went into a situation where the Packers made a move with Micah Hyde, going to move him from corner to safety, do some different things in that secondary. And if you had your starting four, you'd have Shields and Tremont on the corners, and him and Morgan Burnett in the backfield. And they just run so much nickel defense that there really are three safeties.
Yep.
And if you had to pick starters, they run – they run a traditional 3-4. No, they don't. They run a 4-2-6, or they run a 4-2-5. I mean, they really, if you look at their defense, they run a 4-2-5 with their outside, quote-unquote, linebackers. They're basically stand-up defensive ends, rushing the quarterback. So they made the move with Clay to the inside. Sam Berrington got more playing time. We saw against the Cowboys that A.J. Hawk was the guy because they definitely needed to try and stop the run with DeMarco Murray first. But Ha-Ha and Corey, two rookies, I mean, one you expected out of a first-rounder, the other fourth, just great contributions. And part of the reason is where they've gotten today are those guys, Devontae Adams, Richard Rodgers. I mean, they've had a lot of rookies really, really step up, as they say. I hate that cliche, but really come mature beyond their years, if you will.
I think this leads me right into my next question here. While we're on the topic of rookies, outside of Lindsley, these guys barely played in that loss back in week one at Seattle. Guys like Devontae Adams, Richard Rodgers, even Clinton Dix wasn't a full-time starter back then. Does this make the Packers better prepared to beat the Seahawks this time around now that these guys are a little more battle-tested?
Oh, I think so. I think so. And I hate to rip the guy, but I was watching some of the first game last night, actually. And I saw Derek Ferrat out there. I mean, no offense, but I was watching the game. Remember, Bulaga got hurt.
Yep.
That changed the way their offensive line played, and they struggled to move the football. They had, issues with the noise there in Seattle. And then I saw Derek Sherrod. And I saw Derek Sherrod falling on a fumble in the end zone. And I saw Derek Sherrod getting whipped around the corner and Rodgers running for his life. I think that'll be definitely a factor. But you're right. A lot of those young guys, they've been out there. They've made the trip. They didn't really play a lot then. And they're a different team than they were now. I mean, let's face it. They started the season 1-2, and they finished the year 12-4. I mean, all you have to do is do the math. And Aaron Rodgers and the whole, he's not going to make some money, but I'm going to, in his thing, R-E-L-A-S, everybody just relax. And he had all these T-shirts made and everything else. but there was a point to it, too. I mean, there's a reason he said it and did it and believed it. And I think those guys, they look to him. And he's the leader of the pack. I mean, his confidence and his belief, that changes, I think, the way everybody feels about how they are as a team.
I think we can maybe say the same thing about the Packers' defense. There's been a lot of changes since week one. Clay Matthews playing some more inside linebacker. Julius Peppers' snaps have been reduced. Sam Barrington's playing a bigger role. Are they better equipped to stop the Seahawks offense in this rematch?
I think so. We had Sam Barrington on one of our shows in mid-season, and I hadn't really studied, again, and I don't go over the tape, all of it, but when you have a certain guest on the show, you'll go out of your way just to watch every play that guy has been in. And you can really see the difference. I mean, the 23-year-old kid, second year, even though he's a seventh-round pick, as opposed to a first-rounder who's, 30 years plus and on the downside of his career. Mm-hmm. Now, that's no offense to AJ. I mean, AJ's a great guy. Everybody loves him as a teammate. And, he said it himself. He'll play special teams right now. But Sam gives you a little bit more of an edge. And he's got more talent. He's got more speed. And he fills the hole a little bit better. He can also cover a little bit faster than AJ Hawk. And I think Julius, it isn't exactly the Reggie White phenomenon, but, twilight of his career, still playing some great football. Dayton Jones told me last night that, without question, easily the greatest athlete he's ever been around. And, this is coming from a guy who was, I think all-state in basketball in California. I mean, Dayton's a unique individual, as you obviously know on your show, and you guys and in talking to him, but to have so much respect for him because of not only the way he leads, but what he backs it up. He isn't a big talker. And, he had that one infamous pregame pep speech. I don't remember what it was, before the Tampa game, maybe? Where he talked to the guys on Saturday night and really just let everybody know what the deal was. And his deal is he wants to get a ring. He understands fully
you only get a couple shots at this. You never know when you're going to get that next chance. So I think, you know, the addition of Peppers, I mean, it speaks volumes that the team voted him a playoff captain mm-hmm. in his first year. So, yeah, I think their defense is better equipped to take care of it. I mean, now, we can say all that, but the bottom line is you still have to wrap up on Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to tackle him, and don't go high, and don't try and knock him down and lay the big hit. Tackle him, bring him to the ground. Otherwise, he will make you pay.
We're talking to Burt Griffin of WFRV-TV in Green Bay here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Burt, you mentioned it before, and for those that don't know, Burt Griffin is the host of a weekly Packers talk show aired regionally. Last night you had Datone Jones on as a guest. You know, just a personal question, Burt. Do you find yourself getting more attention for locker room than what you do on a daily basis at WFRV just because it airs regionally to a larger audience?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, you get some unique emails. You know, the beauty of that show is that, you know, through the company, the Nextar Nation, as you can call it. I mean, every broadcasting company has their own divisions. But
yep.
We're on in like 6 or 7 markets in Illinois and even Quad Cities in Iowa. And then, you know, you go over to La Crosse and you've got, you know, a certain region where, you know, Minnesota gets you. So we're on like 4 or 5 states. You'll get an email. I got an email the other day from some dude, some Bears fan in Illinois, and you know, easily professed that he didn't really care for the Packers, but he had fun watching the show. So I thought, okay, well, that's a 50-50. That's a 50-50 win-win. But yeah, you know, it's being the local sports guy, as they say, doing the news. You have your certain local people who see you and they know you and everything else, but it does give you a little bit broader appeal, which is kind of fun.
What's it been like working with Amon Green on the show, your co-host?
You know what? The guy's been nothing but professional, and it's been quite the kick. I still give him some guff about how he was as a player, and you know, because he was so intense, and he would sit at his locker, and he, you know, you'd come up to him and people would be scared of him. And which always baffles my mind, because a lot of, you know, when the media people are like, oh, can we go talk to this guy? I'm like, look, as soon as he has his underwear and shirt on, you can go talk to whoever you want to talk to. Mm-hmm. They're going to do one thing or the other. They're going to say yes and you do an interview, or they're going to say no and you walk away and go talk to somebody else. You can't, like, you don't have to take those things, you know, personally. Sometimes they're in a bad mood. Sometimes they're in a great mood. And Amon was always a guy who, he never quite knew, because he always had that serious look on his face. But I'll never forget when we started the show 2 years ago. This is our third season of doing, you know, both a pregame show and then the locker room mm-hmm. show on Tuesday nights. I get in there in the Sunday morning. He the second week after he finally got his, you know, key pass to get in the building and nobody had to let him in the door, he was in my office sitting at my desk already, like, looking at stats and all this stuff, and the show started at 10:30. He was there at 9:30, and I thought, oh my gosh, this guy's actually taking this seriously. You know, a lot of them, you know, a lot of those guys don't. Some former players just show up,
yep.
and they get their paycheck. I mean, there's a couple of them that really do take it serious, and you can tell because they've been in the business this long, and they have a following even after their career's done. But some of the guys, they're just guys. They show up, they talk some football.
Yep.
But Amon has really gotten into it. He's gotten more comfortable on the air. It's even led to a few opportunities for him. I know he's flying out to L.A. this week to be on the NFL Network. So
cool. I'm curious, is this something you think, you know, Amon better than I do, that he wants to? Does he want to get in the media? Because it seemed, you know, my outsider's perspective, for a while, Amon had his fingers in about 5 different jars. He was a part owner of the Blizzard, and he was doing some workout stuff, and mm-hmm. He's involved with the rugby now. And I mean, what direction does he want to go in?
Well, I can't speak for him in particular, but I can give you his number, and you can call him and have him on your show.
We'd love to.
I will say this. Everything you just mentioned, he still is currently involved with.
Yeah.
He still is a part owner in the Blizzard. I know he took a smaller stake.
Oh, okay.
In the deal. So he's still having some guys live that football dream with a chance to maybe get noticed across the street over there by an NFL squad. By the way, at our show last night, Mike Daniels' brother, Sean Daniels, was in our crowd hanging out, and he was signed by the Blizzard. So, little side footnote for you. Played football at Temple.
Cool.
It was just funny. Normally, you don't have those guys in your crowd hanging out watching a show.
Yeah.
But, he's doing that. He does a ton of training at D1.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a bunch of former players who are involved with that around the country. And then, the rugby thing, he's also taken serious. I mean, he flew out there for the National Sevens tournament in Las Vegas last summer. He says, and he admits it readily, he's the old guy. And if he's going to do it, that window is closing for him, too. If he's going to do it, he's got to do it now.
Yeah.
But he's also an ambassador for it. You know, he having a face like that attached to your franchise is not a bad thing. So
yeah.
He's keeping busy. And you know what? With a lot of NFL guys, if they don't keep busy, that's usually when bad things happen. You know, they can burn through their money so quickly. And we've seen, you know, the 30 for 30 stories on ESPN about guys who, you know, broke. And they mismanage their money, and
yeah.
They live that lifestyle. And when you don't work after your career is done and you still continue to live that lifestyle, that money runs out quick. And
yeah.
He's always been I call him Gene. I told him, I said, you know, he's one of those guys. I'm like, hey, are you picking up the tab tonight? He's like, no, we're splitting the check. but he's busy. He's busy, 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 and that's a good thing.
Rugby's going to be part of the Olympics. I mean, is that his goal? Is he want to be in the Olympics, actually?
You know, for the rugby you're talking?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it's a matter of learning the game. I mean, he's still in ridiculously good shape. The career of an NFL running back is so short. And for him to even have ground, you know, pounded out 9 years, or, I mean, I think it was seven with Green Bay and then two in Seattle, or one in Seattle and then two in Houston. You know, that career is so short. I mean, their longevity is only 3-4 years. So at his age, I mean, you got to be honest here, he's 36 or 37 years old. He's going to try and make that team and try and help put that program on the map because, you know, it has such a huge following worldwide, but has never really fully caught on stateside. I mean, I played rugby for 2 years after football in college.
Oh, okay.
And it was more of a fun league. I mean, everyone around the state of Wisconsin knows the programs in Green Bay and Oshkosh and Milwaukee and Stevens Point.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't at an elite level by any stretch of the imagination. But you're starting to see some interest in it. I mean, we have high school teams up here. I don't know how it is down by you guys, but there are a lot of football players and wrestlers in the spring. They play rugby now, and you know we never had that option back when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm. Burke, I've kept you longer than I've told you. Before we let you go, do you have an early prediction on the NFC Championship game?
Boy, if Rodgers can test out that leg early and do a little bit better than he did in the first half against the Cowboys, they should be fine. They should be right in it. I still think my gut feeling is they're going to play well. They're going to play far better than they did in week one. I just don't know if they have enough. I just feel Seattle is peaking at the right time. They struggled earlier in the season. The Packers can win. They're going to have to play mistake-free. They're going to have a couple things go their way. You silence the crowd early, take them out of it, get a fast start, and really kind of limit what Russell Wilson's done to a couple teams in the past six or seven weeks. I mean, he's looked sharp.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have exactly the same kind of weapons around him, but I mean, I think you can forget all the talk about, Russell Wilson's just a game manager. No, he's a great quarterback. I mean, he's a great quarterback in a league where, you know, Andrew Luck and Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and then probably in the next conversation you're looking at, you know, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Philip Rivers, whoever else, Tony Romo. He's an elite quarterback, and I at this point of the year, I'm a fan. I'd love to go to Phoenix next week. I'd love to go to Arizona. I hope they can do it. I just don't know if they've got enough.
Yeah, well, we'll find out shortly.
We will. That's the beauty of it. That's what makes this whole thing fun.
Exactly. thank you for joining us on the show this morning. Appreciate your insight and input. Thanks a lot, and do it again sometime.
No problem, man. I had fun, and you guys do some really cool stuff, so thanks for having me on.
Cool. All right. We'll talk to you later then, Burke.
All right. Goodbye.
Take care. Bye. Burke Griffin of WFRV-TV in Green Bay here at Cheesehead TV's Rail Bird Central on a Wednesday morning. Thanks to him for joining the show. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us here as we continue our conversation, our preview of the NFC Championship game here at Cheesehead TV. Yesterday, the Packers news of the day. I don't have sound bites this morning, but in addition to kind of the big news yesterday, Corey Linsley and HaHa Clint Dix being named to the all-rookie team in the NFL. In addition to that, we have the other news of the day, report from footballzebras.com, all your football officiating news needs at footballzebras.com. But they actually do have some very cool stuff. They always have the report on who's going to be working the game before anybody else does. They report Tony Corrente is the referee for the NFC Championship game between Seattle and Green Bay. And what's interesting about this is he's actually, you know, been a longtime official. He's worked playoff games. I think he was actually the referee for one Super Bowl game, in addition to, you know, championship games, divisional games, whatever. But this is also the guy, Tony Corrente, who basically quit. He resigned from his position of head of Pac-12 football officiating this year. In the middle of the year, which is interesting, that, you know, that the Pac-12 has had some rather dubious moments in over the past few years in which it has not really gained a very good reputation. And Corrente was kind of the head of all this and kind of associated with it. And as the story goes, if you were to Google this on the internet, you'll find out that reportedly, and again, this is certainly secondhand knowledge here, but Corrente kind of got sick of the league blaming officials for things that happen, losses that happen to particular teams. Just this year, Oregon, coming off the national championship game appearance, their lone regular season loss back in, I believe it was October, to Arizona. There was a moment late in the game in which an Oregon player was penalized for celebrating when he's done the same celebration in the past and has not been penalized. And it was such a big moment at the time because it came at a critical moment at the game and Oregon lost. And here you are, the team's best representative of the league and a team that would eventually go on to the national championship game. But there was a lot of attention at the time because, you know, if Oregon happens to suffer one more loss along the way, you know, they may not be in the playoffs. And then there was the thing earlier in the season where USC athletic director Pat Hayden, if you'll remember, came down onto the field to question officials' call, came out of the stands, watching on the stands, and came down to the sideline, got all sorts of attention at the time. And you know, hey, this is a Packers show. There's probably a lot of Wisconsin football fans. Go back to the game against Wisconsin at Arizona State last season, 2013 season. You remember when the officials kind of botched the spotting of the football? There was so much time ran off the clock when the Badgers had a chance to potentially spike the football and then get their field goal unit out onto the field to, I believe it would have been to tie the game at the time, or would have been to win. Regardless, they were in field goal territory, and time ends up running out. So there's been all sorts of these issues revolving around Pac-12 football that have not put the conference in a very good light. And Tony Corrente was at the head of all this, And here he is going to work this weekend's NFC Championship game. Just kind of interesting. I don't think I have heard a whole lot negatively about Corrente's on-field work, which is good. You know, maybe it's more, I think he was kind of, you know, the administrator almost with the Pac-12, and there were a lot of things there. But just interesting that kind of came out yesterday that he was going to work the game. But the day ahead here at 1265 Lombardi Avenue on a Wednesday, it's the first day of practice this week. Packers had their usual typical Tuesday day off. Players kind of got the opportunity to rest their bodies and recuperate the one day a week that they do. And then here on Wednesday, first practice of the week, Aaron Rodgers not expected to participate. Pretty much he said that on his weekly radio show yesterday on the ESPN radio affiliate in Milwaukee. Aaron Rodgers expecting to be much like last week. You'll remember before the divisional round playoff game before the Cowboys, Rodgers did not practice at all on last Wednesday before the game, choosing instead to, I don't know if so much it was his choice or the team's choice, maybe a little bit of both, to rehab basically, receive treatment instead of practice, and then come back on a limited basis on Thursday when he received the most practice time. So that's what's in store for Aaron Rodgers today. After that, later in the afternoon, 4 o'clock p.m. on Wednesday, NFC Championship game press conference. With all the extra attention this week the Packers are getting because they're one of just four teams left in the NFL, a little bit different than your typical, you know, Wednesday Mike McCarthy press conference. He's usually the only one at the podium. Big day today. Four people in total from the Packers organization expected to meet with the media. In addition to Mike McCarthy, we've got quarterback Aaron Rodgers, wide receiver Jordy Nelson, defensive end slash linebacker Julius Peppers, all going to be at the podium today, and this will be streamed online at Packers.com. If you have access to the internet streaming capabilities, and if you're listening to this podcast, I hope you have streaming capabilities. Go check it out. So, you know, bit different than normal here. Increased attention this week because the Packers have qualified for the NFC Championship game. So plenty to watch online. So feel free to go check that out. We'll get the word on Aaron Rodgers and what he did or didn't do at practice today. Maybe a little bit of a health update, although I wouldn't expect any groundbreaking news there. But we'll see. More important is the shakeout. Sometimes injuries can crop up in the aftermath of a football game after the adrenaline wears off. So we'll be waiting to find out about that. But that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for tuning in and listening. By the way, Nathan Yonke, our usual Wednesday guest, was not able to make it today because he's basically in a plane right now. He was anticipating to do the show, and then he had some flight changes, but certainly understandable. We'll get Nathan Yonke on back on for perhaps hopefully next Wednesday where we can talk about the NFC Championship game with him. But looking forward to Friday's episode of the show. We'll have Pigskin Paul Guillemette, our annual interview with Paul Guillemette. He joins us every year from the site of the East-West Shrine Game, where Packers general manager Ted Thompson is currently checking out the next crop of NFL draft prospects. So Paul is covering the event. We'll talk to him, get the lowdown on what's happening in St. Petersburg, Florida this week, and what Ted Thompson is up to, as well as a little more in-depth NFC Championship game preview. I'll give my prediction. But we'll talk to you then, folks. Again, thanks to Burke Griffin of WFRV-TV for joining us on the show today. Thank you. On behalf of Jamie Snow and Alex Talich, I'm Brian Kirvo. We'll see you on Friday, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, folks. My call to action, follow Burke Griffin on Twitter. It's just easy, at Burke Griffin. Give him a tweet, say, hey, enjoyed hearing you on Railbird Central. We have no paywall. We have no subscription here at Cheesehead TV. We ask you one small thing. Do that for us. And give us a rating on iTunes if you would as well. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Can't Wait Another Day by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack Go.